welcome to a little bit of synergy. Welcome to the first ever monologue. Never thought this day would come. Don't know how far I'm going to get into it. Don't expect to get very far without having to hit the pause. That's the beauty of the digital age. I can hit pause and it'll be as though no time will have elapsed for you. And you'll be none the wiser. I guess to start things off, I want to go ahead and say that I'm really grateful. I'm thankful that my dad is at the house back in Alabama. I want to thank again everybody that's had us in their thoughts and prayers, and I appreciate that. Dad's doing good. And all is well. In fact, I'm at a point where I can say the pieces do fit. Everything is in its proper place at the moment, so relatively speaking. When moments like this come along and they force you to reckon with, those areas that we don't like to grapple with, such as, mortality and the potential of losing someone that we love so close and so dearly, that we, this is when I like to say how important it is to live in the moment. And I call this exercise, and I don't know if I invented this. I know I didn't invent this, but I don't know if I coined this phrase or I don't remember hearing anybody else say this or not. No, I don't remember hearing anyone else say this phrase, but I call it entering into the pause. The pause, P-A-U-S-E. In other words, time out, okay? It reminds me of when I've been in the hospital and I let somebody else drive for a little bit. And I'm not saying that we can live, recklessly, but I am saying it is important to live in the moment. It is important to live in the moment. It is important to live in the moment. So much so that this has become my default state. Entering into the pause. Because if you don't enter into the pause, then you're just functioning and you're just existing and you're just producing and you're just operating. Well, that's great, but it's also a way of life. And if you think about it, the two, they're not mutually exclusive and they're not contrary to each other. You can do both. You can live a perfectly productive life and you can live in the moment. And you can do it at the same time. I'm living proof. I've been doing this for as long as I can remember now. And I'm not talking about some new age bullshit. I'm not talking about any psychobabble spirituality. I'm talking about actually experiencing life. And that's weak. Not experiencing life, but experiencing experience. Welcome to a little bit of synergy. You know what? Up until this point, I believed that it was a requirement, a prerequisite, to have at least two individuals in order for synergy to exist. Well, let's just see if we can challenge that idea a little bit, challenge that theory with just synergistic ideas. And we're working with one right now, the idea of living proactive or living progressively at the same time as living intuitively and living contemplatively. just the whole idea of my dad's just his current state and me being so far away, and I'm disconnected from the family at the moment just because there's a state in between us, and dad's going through this, the family's going through this. It's got me waxing philosophic, so I hope you'll bear with me. And I know that this is a, quote, philosophical philosophy web podcast, even though it wasn't ever actually intended to be such. Whatever. I'm so glad my dad's okay, guys. You don't know how important your parents are to you. And you don't know how important people are to you until you're faced with the possibility of, I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to go there. Dad's doing well. Okay, so let's focus on what we do have. Somehow, I'm stating an intention here, folks. I'm getting my old man on the podcast somehow. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet. He's already told me he doesn't want anything to do with it. He's not interested in it. Not because he's against it, just because he says, in his words, he's not as fast and as quick-witted as he used to be. Well, I know that's bullshit. My old man is as quick on the draw as he's ever been. You can ask any of those people that have been attending to him lately. I guarantee you my old man is still a six shooter. And he's just got my dad is just a fountain of wisdom, and I not only do I think that my brother and I should dedicate at least a few podcasts to him, stories of him, as well as my pawpaw, but I want to get his wisdom on here just as well, because let's just say he is the big badass block of granite that I was chipped off of, and there ain't a whole lot to me. But anyway, so here in the podcast world, it's a place where we virtually get to come together, and we get to enter into the pause together. This is, it's virtual. But it's like we hang together. And that's why week after week I like to invite all of y'all into my own little inner sanctum. It's so intimate, and I love having you here with me. I love being with you guys. I love the conversations that we have, and I love the time that we spend together with one another. I'm a fan of the podcast myself. I don't mean that in a narcissistic way. God, I pray I don't mean that in a narcissistic way, because I'm not in love with my own voice. A lot of this has been me it's been a hurdle for me to overcome, because I've had to become accustomed to my own voice. I personally don't like the way my voice sounds. No, I don't think anybody but should be in love with their voice. Not even the most talented and gifted vocal, I don't know. I'll have to go back and ask Sir Marcus how he feels about his voice, because if you remember my guest Sir Marcus Kane from the episode "I Pray the Pieces Fit," back that was in, I believe, March. Sir Marcus is a vocal actor, and he has a remarkable voice. I mean, he knows it. I mean, he gets paid well for that voice, and anybody that hears it would know that. But I wonder, and I didn't ask him, so I will ask him the next time I talk to him, is he ever self-conscious about that, about his own voice? Has to be. I know I am. But I talk to people for a living. So, I have to be okay with my voice. But for whatever reason, and I don't, I think this is everybody's experience. What you hear when you speak between your ears is not the same as when you hear your recorded voice playing back at you. It just sounds, something about it sounds different and a little cringe. At least that's the case with me. And this is all an exercise in temperance for me to get past that. Okay, having said that, I mean, I talk with people from Canada on a daily basis. I talk with people from California. I talk with people from the North. And even people from, you know, Mexico and Latin America. And they all comment on my accent. Evidently, I've got a Southern draw, an Alabama draw that I can't shake. Not that I've ever really tried to. It's there. Okay. It's, I don't hear it until I go back and listen. So what? We've all got those things that make us unique. That make our own vocal patterns what they are. Our vocal patterns are like fingerprints. They're as unique to us as anything is to us. And we should be okay with that. We should be fine with that. I mean, and if we're okay with that, I believe that frees us up to express more creatively and more fluently, more fluidly. I think fluent is the word I was looking for, though. Yeah, fluent. Because if you're expressing yourself fluently, then you are in your medium, and you're yeah. That's it. Fluency and fluidity. That's exactly what I'm trying to promote there. Okay, so yeah, there's something alchemical, I guess you'd say, that takes place when you are in. Okay, no, that's not it. Well, I suppose it could be considered alchemical, something of a, something metaphysical, you know, something that rapturously envelops us in a state of grace, something we all need more of, man. Yeah. And we can find this place, but we have to seek it out. It's in us. It's in all of us who are kind. Every one of us who has has that in their heart to be sweet, to be generous, to be loving, and to be kind to other people. If that's in you, then this ability to be good to yourself, that's in you as well. Okay, just like I've said this before, it takes no talent to be an asshole. It doesn't. It is our secondary human nature to be an asshole. It comes so honest to us that it's our default state to be a dick. And if you're being one, and you're proud of it, well, you shouldn't be, because you're just being yourself. Congratulations, asshole. There's no merit in that. I wish somebody would have told that to Dennis Leary. Because, you know, yeah, guy's hysterical. And some of the best, you know, comics alive are, you know, they make a name for themselves, and we remember them by how big of a comedic ass they are. But, I don't mean to start, I'm going to start spouting off at people. That's not the point. That's not what I'm trying to say here. I'm in a place of gratitude. I'm in a good spot right now. Bella's dreaming right now. Y'all hear her? Y'all hear my girl? She's running. Wonder what's going on in her head. A dog would kill for me. She would absolutely kill somebody for me if it meant she would give her life for me. That is love. What are you dreaming about, girl? What you dreaming about, baby? What you dreaming about, girl? See if I can give her some peaceful dreams. Okay, that's my girl. She's probably saving my life somewhere in her mind. And I think that's awesome. I wish that everybody could know the love of a good dog. I don't mean just the love of a dog, because all dogs are great. Don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about the love of a dog that legitimately could save your life. If necessary, a dog that does have your back everywhere you go, a dog that proves over and over and over again, anytime there's any kind of interference or any kind of a threat, or what perceived might be a threat, no matter how insignificant, I'm talking, she is always proving her loyalty to me over and over and over again. She will do it to a fault. Every Harley Davidson that drives by you'd think it was a Panzer tank. You know, we're on a battlefield somewhere in World War II, and she's jumping right out in front of that thing. Literally, if I didn't have a good solid grip on her leash, she would jump headlong into traffic, and she would probably take somebody out directly off their bike, and that would not be a happy scene. But that is how dedicated this dog is to me, because she feels that these things are dangers to me, and she would give her life to save me from them. And even though that annoys me to no end, and it is embarrassing as hell, and I can't tell you how many hot-headed bikers I've had to calm down or apologize to, because it's not like I can introduce them to my friendly dog, because, you know, she once it's out of the house, you know, there's no, damn it. Fact of the matter is there is no, you can't put dynamite back in the package once it's gone off. And this dog's temperament is one as such. I love her. I love that about her. But it makes for some awkward encounters. Oh well. So what kind of dog is she? Well, that probably has a lot to do and contributes significantly to the kind of personality she has. For starters, she's a rescue. And if you've ever seen the movie The Chronicles of Riddick, or was it Riddick? It was the last one. Or was it the last one? It was the one where Riddick was on the planet, not pitch black, but he was by himself, and the bounty hunters came to find him. And anyway, he found a little wild hyena-looking alien pup on this island, and he raised it from a pup. And if you've seen this movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that pup had the most beautiful coat. And even though that was a fictitious character, I see that every time I look at my Bella. She has got the most beautiful brindle coat, but it's unusual. It's almost got some hyena striping to it, or some mottling or whatever. I mean, it actually looks like a desirable coat. Something that breeders would want, but it's unique. She's predominantly pit / cur, and to say something, a dog is predominantly cur, I think down here in Florida, people seem to know what that means. You know, a cur is back in Alabama, they called them Heinz 57s, which basically meant a mutt. Well, I think that's a very derogatory term. Down here, a cur is a desirable dog. It means generally it's got a mixture of all the most popular, you know, dog breeding is huge down here, as well as pit bulls. Pit bull breeding is a way of life down here. Not hard to get a pit bull down here. I mean, I'm talking, you know, if you're okay with a dog without papers and you just want a pit, it is not hard to come across one here. Kind of like Louisiana. There's an overpopulation issue. I'm doing my part. Bella's no pit bull by any stretch. She is not what you would call. She's more of a Staffordshire Terrier mix, is what I call her. She's beautiful. She is an absolutely beautiful dog. We got her when she was, quote, 9 months old by some lady out in front of Walmart up the road. We saw her across the parking lot. She was full grown. I don't know many pups that are full grown at 9 months, but Bella sure was. I don't believe she was 9 months. I believe she was, well, she was a little bit older, and sometimes I wonder if she'd had a litter or not because of the way her udders droop. She's not fixed, and she needs to be because she is a horny mess, and she goes into heat several times a year, and every time she does, the sexual tension in the house she could cut with a dull butter blade. Because the only male companionship she's got, other than the men in the house, is the little neutered Jack Russell, Ziggy, who is, while he considers himself alpha, and while he does everything he can to prove that he is, he don't have any. And even if he did, he's a rescue too. And both of these dogs have got, I'm telling you, these. I don't know if it's common with rescues or not, but they've got psychiatric issues. They've got, I mean, I can only assume what they came from was abusive environments before. But we've done nothing but foster love with these animals. And I'm telling you, they don't forget. They just bear scars from whatever environment they came out of, whatever we rescued them out of. I know that our Ziggy was on his third strike. He had been to the pound, let's see, we were his third home, and he was pound bound. He had been there before, and someone had rescued him out of there. And after the story they told us was that he was killing chickens, which I believe because that sounds like Ziggy. Kind of a nuisance dog, but his issues go deeper than that. And he's a sweet boy. And he's a good boy. But only for me. I don't know. I guess we're a pack. You know, I guess when you have animals in your life, I guess that makes you a pack. And I imagine that, like any pack, everybody wants to know where they fit in the pecking order. I guess that makes me alpha. Ziggy never challenges me for that, but he'll definitely challenge Michael for it, my son. And my son is nothing but good to him. He and I are primary caretakers for him, but depending on who's here more often is who's taking care of them more. Either way, Michael's nothing but good to him, and Ziggy shows him nothing but contempt. He's a shit to him, and it gets old. But my son has the patience of a saint, and Michael's always like, "Well, you just have to take into account what they went through before. You don't know, you know. They may have caged him cruelly. They may have neglected him. They may have we think that they may have kept him locked up in a cage, and you know, kept him in there with his filth for long extended periods of time. We didn't get the impression that he was loved when we got him. We got the impression that you know, it was good riddance. We were taking someone's burden off of them. This is a little treasure for us. We love the little shit, but it's just hard to believe. It's hard to believe the way some people treat animals. I mean, and I don't recommend everybody treat them the way I do. I don't necessarily think that everybody should try to reason with their dogs like I do. I don't think that that the conversations that I carry on with my dogs would make a lot of sense to people outside of the little dialogue we're having at the time. But I'm convinced my dogs know a lot of what I'm saying. I'm convinced that they can pick up a lot of subtle cues, and they know words besides go outside. They know words other than that. You know, there's more to vocab. I mean, I've seen Bella take a compliment before, and I've seen the way she, you know, I let her know she's a pretty girl, and I've seen the way she would strut, and she would hold her head up all regal like, and just, like I said, take a compliment. Like, she knows. She knows. It's not a verbal thing. But you know, I believe dog people know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, so continuing on, I just spent 2 hours talking with my dad. Had the most fascinating conversation. And Dave Garrett, I owe you an apology because I was, up until just a few moments ago, I was under the impression that the paternal bloodline from my family was originated in Ireland and was, like we discussed, Scotch-Irish, and I couldn't be further off the mark. Evidently, the Thomases originated in Wales, and we've got a rich history. I don't even know where to start. I'm just kind of trying to digest it. But, wow, Wales. What comes from Wales? What's Welsh? Welsh. Is that the Netherlands? Don't I have some peeps in the Netherlands listening to this podcast? Any of you guys from Wales? You know anything about Wales? I don't, and I'd like to know more. Pretty cool. Along the shore, the cloud waves break. The twin suns sink behind the lake. The shadows lengthen in Carcosa. Strange is the night where black stars rise, and strange moons circle through the skies, but stranger still is lost Carcosa. Songs that the Hyades shall sing, where flap the tatters of the king, must die unheard in dim Carcosa. Song of my soul, my voice is dead. Die thou, unsung, as tears unshed shall dry and die in lost Carcosa. Cordelia's Song from The King in Yellow, 1938, by Robert W. Chambers. So again, keep in mind, folks, this is an experiment, and this is a time-lapse experiment. I don't know how long this is going to take, but again, thank you, Annie Hardy, for the inspiration, the idea to do a monologue podcast. I can't believe I'm actually half an hour into this, and I haven't completely flaked, I don't think. I don't think I've exposed too much. Okay, so now I'm faced with the challenge of properly preparing for my upcoming guest, Jordan Zidarosny, from Blinker the Star. I'm very excited about this, and I'm definitely going to put my best foot forward, and I want something that he would be happy to accommodate the release of his new album. That being the case, this isn't going to be just a normal hack job like the Synergy used to. And I'm going to borrow an idea from Lou at R4. If it's okay, I'd like to start with a sound collage like he did with the Fish episode. That was really cool, and I'd like to use that tool myself. The only problem I got right now, and it's not really a problem, it's just I can only download 3 songs a day with this trialware I'm using. So that being the case, I can only download 3 songs a day, but I've still got plenty of time. I don't want to have more than 10 or 12 songs in the collage, and it will be the intro. And I'll probably reach out and see if maybe he's got some cuts from the new album that he'd like to add to the podcast, or at least snippets of some. Not asking for any special privileges or anything like that. Just want to enhance the whole project any way possible, anything to help get the word out there, because really Jordan's a phenomenal musician, and he's highly respected in the indie world, indie and the sub pop world, I guess you'd say, what evolved from grunge in the Seattle area, LA. I guess he's always been up in Canada, and he's kind of like the wise old man on the mountain, and because he's worked with just some of my favorite names in music, namely Paul D'Amour and Ken Andrews, Greg Edwards, and Chris Pittman, also known as Replicants. All 4 of those guys were in Replicants, and all 4 of those guys have worked on projects with Jordan, and every one of them have great, just nothing but praise for him, and I see why. The music speaks for itself. He has just an ear for melody and arrangement. I'll be sure and lay out plenty of examples of this Okay, son. Yeah, there'll be plenty of examples of this during the podcast where he plays every instrument. I mean, and I'll reflect this during the podcast also, but, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to wait for the podcast. I'm not going to steal any material from myself. Okay, so there's that, and that's what I'm doing right now. Working on a collage. The first three songs I have are Below the Sliding Doors, Way Off Wave, and what was it, the Cairo. All three songs are off of Juvenile Universe album, which is the one that got me hooked and introduced me to Blinker. Definitely one I would recommend to people if I was to introduce them to Blinker the Star. I would likely start with Juvenile Universe. It was released, if I'm not mistaken, last year on Election Day, or right around it. It was really timely. And, with COVID and the year we'd had and all the insanity and this gem just appears. I discovered it through Apple Music. Because, you know, they have, you like this, you might also like this. And, well, sure enough, the name caught my ear, caught my attention. And, I've kind of been on a quest ever since. People need to hear Jordan Zetterozny. All right, so this morning I taught myself Peaches and Regalia. And, you know what? That song, as I understand, that the score for that song was written out by very young Frank Zappa before he had any idea how to read or write music. He just wrote a bunch of notes on a bunch of lines, and he kept up with that evidently. And when he got older, he transcribed that piece that he had written as a child, and what we have is the jewel of Peaches and Regalia, which, if you think about it, it does kind of, it's got a childish quality to it. It's got kind of a clumsy melody, and you can kind of see how the, can you hear that? Can you not hear that? Hang on, pause. Well, what do you know? And we're proudly lo-fi anyway, so you can hear this maybe, maybe not. But, yeah. So thank you to the Chordify app, the Chordify website, where if you know how to, if you're a guitarist and you want to learn piano and you understand chords, It's a lot easier to transition to piano from guitar if you think in terms of chords, because you shape your hand just like a guitar. You shape your hands in these chord shapes with your. I remember when I was learning guitar, I thought that the actual shape that your right hand made on a guitar fretboard would. Like when you made an E major chord, I thought that the shape was what you call the E chord. And if you take that and you move it up five frets, even though it's no longer an E, it's an A, I would say make an E on the fifth fret. Makes sense? Well, that's kind of what I do with my my chords on the piano. There's certain shapes that your hand makes, your hands make, and just makes it a lot easier to transition from guitar to the piano. Or it has been for me. But, yeah. Ooh, that sounds horrible. this is a rough cut. Ah, sucks. Sustain. All kinds of problems with my DAW this morning. So I downloaded this free plugin that's supposed to double your vocals, kind of like a chorus effect. And instead, now all of my recordings that I would do through the Reason DAW, which is my primary DAW, Digital App Audio Workstation, basically my studio, it all comes out sounding like it's been run through a trance gate. And if you're wondering what that sounds like, it sounds like hammered dog shit. I mean, it sounds like Voivod. It sounds, which is cool, but it's not what I was trying to do. So where did this come from, and why is all my music sounding like it's... And the funny thing is I did actually install a trance gate effect recently, but it should not... No, I'm not stupid, guys. You know, I'm a tech, and I think this stuff through, and there really isn't... They're not connected. The trance gate's not on the same bus as my... I don't even have it loaded, so it should not be affecting my master bus recordings. So I'm a little pissed off. I'm having to go back to Ableton, which was fine. Ableton's cool. It's classic. It's dependable and whatnot, but it's got its issues too. And there's a reason I switched over to Reason. Reason has got a lot of extra features and just it's set up like a rack mount studio. It's rich. The content, it's content rich for a tech weenie, a gearhead. It's ideal if you like patch cords, if you like rack mount devices, if you like effects, if you like loops, if you like playing with different, Reason Plus is also the monthly subscription that I'm a part of. Now, for $20 a month, you get everything they make, pretty much every. And they're constantly releasing new packs every day. Now, it is geared more towards the EDM, trance, hip-hop genre, but I've found some cool stuff in there, too. So, don't knock it till you've tried it. There's some pretty cool stuff. I don't understand what's happening to rock and roll and where it's... What is it? Is it being canceled? Maybe. Because I notice a complete lack of it in my genre files. There's jazz, there's dubstep, there's EDM, there's club. There's no classical, which I guess you have to pay extra for classical, or maybe you have to search it out. People don't seem to think modern-day composers are interested in classical music, which couldn't be further from the truth. So that's frustrating to me. But that's that. Next musical cover project I've got in mind is Planet Caravan. I would like to do the Pantera version. Lean more towards the Pantera version, mainly because it is tuned down a half step, so I have to transpose my keys a half step, which is not that big a deal. But it becomes a big deal with my acoustic guitar settings, instruments. They're the ones I've got. You probably heard it on if you listen to the Laguna Sunrise cut I made cover. It's got its challenges. It has its there's holes in the software. There's places where it really you can tell it's not a guitar. You need a guitar. I need a guitar. If I can get a guitar, I would be able to cover Planet Caravan and do it justice. But I want to do it justice. Laguna Sunrise, maybe I'll revisit that someday. Maybe I'll do a little treatment. The violin track on that, it was supposed to sound drunk. I mean, that was the idea. I got about halfway into it, and I was like, okay, this is not really going where I wanted it to. The reason Friction Model Strings, the violin app or instrument on there that I used for Laguna Sunrise, it sometimes you can play it and you know you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between me and I could be playing a Stradivarius or I don't know who's a Jean-Luc Ponty. You know, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference because I'm just so feeling it. And then other times it sounds like, you know, Cats in Heat. And that's what it sounded like that night. So it ran long and it was supposed to sound silly. Now, concerning Fairies Wear Boots, that little interlude I did the other day, that was supposed to sound like shit. I don't want anybody thinking that I took that serious. I threw that together in 10 minutes. I literally did the drums with two pads on my little Key Lab here, and it was a joke. So please don't think that I took that serious. That was supposed to sound like shit. I was following up to Dave's rendition of Rat Salad, which, by the way, sounded really good. Dave's a pretty damn good bassist, guitarist, musician, if you haven't noticed. Also, I don't know, on the Anchor app, you can actually see the different sections of all the podcasts. You can see, and I lay these things out in sequential order, and I name every single sequence or every single segment. Every song that's ever been played on this podcast has a name. I don't know if you're aware of that. I don't know if you see that or not. I mean, it's not metadata, as in tags that would be in an MP3 file, so I don't know if it would show up on, like, someone's car stereo or not. I don't know if you guys can see this or not, but I do actually take the time to name my projects, because I think you guys can tell the stuff that I take serious and the stuff that I just throw together and hope it sticks. Because I'm just fucking around. I'm just fucking around. But What was I saying? But I need a good AI drummer program because my beats, so past obvious now that I'm using a drum machine. Because unless I take the time, it's freaking 1996 again as far as drum machines go with this thing. I have to program every single fill, every single measure, or I just let it run. And I know AI's come along enough way to where it could be filling in that for me, and I'm not a drummer, and I don't want to, you know what I mean? I've got other things to think about as far as the music goes. However, I need something AI-based that can play beats in odd meter, and that's what I'm looking for. I don't need something that can play just 4/4, even just 6/8, and 3/4. I need something can play 7/8. I need something that can play 12/8. I need something that can play 2/4, 3/4, just 5 five time. I need something that can play in these meters and can do their own thing, and can. I've seen this before, where the software detects your inflections and detects the nuance and adds its own. That's what I'm looking for in a drum machine. I'm also still working on a cover for Below the Sliding Doors for the Blinker podcast. I've mentioned it to Jordan several times. I don't know what he's expecting. I'm learning piano, folks. You know, I'm teaching myself. He was gracious enough to send me the chord progression, and I've seen, like I said, Chordify, the Chordify app. I looked on the Chordify app for the progression for Below the Sliding Doors, and okay, on Chordify.com, the chord progression is B, D, G, E, G, E. And let's just say Jordan gave me the inside scoop. Major sevenths, diminished, suspended four, minor sevenths, notes or chords with respective basses. Come on, you can't buy this. That's why I have such high respect for the man, because you know you can't. I've looked online for true sheet music for this very song because I wanted the actual piano score, and I was gonna try to learn it note for note, transcribe it. Sure, this guy just sent me the chords, the piano chords, just what I needed. And but anyway, I don't think I'm gonna be able to come up with anything that's going to be worth presenting. I mean, I'll try. I am gonna try. I'm gonna continue to practice this daily between now and the episode, the podcast, but we'll see. We'll see. Hell, I'll try. I'm going to try, but just don't want to louse it up, man. Mm.